Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Konnichiwa, Atashiwa, Arturo desu.
And Goz.
Domo hajimemashite. Goz.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about three episodes of Arknight's Prelude to Dawn, aka Arknight's Reimei Zensho, a anime from 2022, because as of this recording, the game Arknight's Endfield is about to come out, so we're hitting on that SEO goodness.
Wait, I thought that Endfield was already out, like I saw gameplay of it. Was it just the preview, or was it another Arknight's game?
There was a few closed betas, so you probably saw footage of that.
Yeah.
Actually, it comes out on the 22nd.
Actually, since this is an anime podcast, this is doubly relevant, but I saw someone on YouTube play an Arknights game, not the original one, but something recent, and it had like the best 3D anime animation that I saw so far. It was really good.
In my review, I say that the graphics are really really impressive.
Mm.
This was animated by YoStar Pictures, the studio behind Go Go Loser Ranger and Blue Archive, the animation. Arknight's Prelude to Dawn currently has an annualist score of 70%.
I wonder if they did Konosuba, because facial animation reminded me of it.
No, they did some Azur Lane stuff, not the first season of the first show of that, but other Azur Lane stuff, all the Arknight stuff, and that's Blue Archive, the animation, and a couple other things.
Oh, it's a subsidiary of video game developer.
Arknights was a tower defense mobile game released in 2019 in China, then 2020 worldwide. Arknights Endfield is hard to describe because it's kind of like Genshin Impact, but with factory automation and squad combat.
It looks pretty good.
It's pretty fun. And it's free. My short synopsis is Doctor Who.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't expect that either.
Arthur, what do you have?
Mine is way more serious, unfortunately, but Rhodes Island works to rescue an amnesiac person, doctor, from a city in the location of a catastrophe, hoping that they'll be able to cure oropathy.
And goes?
Well, mine is ruined because I'm not going to be able to do it right. Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Got a bad case of oropathy.
Got a bad case of the amnesia.
I mean, it might be part of my cynical brain, but since it's a Japanese mobile game with a lot of cute girls, I assume that they would all fall in love with the doctor. So I think it's implied with the one girl.
Amaya.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm still pretty happy with that.
Okay, well, we open with the Doctor being awoken by Amaya and some others, but they have to get out of there quick as reunion forces are on their way. The title credits play over the group sneaking out past hostile forces, Doctor being supported the whole way as they are clearly still recovering from whatever state they've found them in. They reach a safe area, and Amaya says that they have to stay alert. Doctor immediately collapses because Amaya wasn't alert enough. They make it to the rendezvous point, but it's covered with reunion troops, so they decide to go to the backup point, but troops locate them. But Captain Doberman arrives with backup to help.
She whips them.
They escape to safety, and Doberman puts Doctor in charge. Amaya hands a PRTS device over, but Doctor finally manages to speak and says that they have amnesia.
Ow. How do they know?
Amaya and Doberman freak out, but Amaya quickly recovers and is certain that the Doctor will be able to help.
Apparently, according to her, the brain and everything is just, you know, muscle memory. She's like, yeah, it'll work for your intelligence too, I'm sure of it. Massive cope, might I add. But still.
Look, the doctor figured out that they had an amnesia, like, very quickly, so I would trust that person.
Time passes and the group falls into a trap because Doctor was unable to speak quickly enough. Reunion troops start to flood in from all angles, but Captain Ace, no relation, comes from nowhere with a flashbang.
No relation, but also acts the exact same way as our Ace.
Thank you.
They do that joke in Rick and Morty a lot, by the way. I know that you don't watch it, Ace, but there's Principal Vagina, no relation, always explains that, explains that there's no relation.
I did not know that. There's a time skip, and the group are holed up in a now-abandoned shop. Amir finally explains what the PRTS is, and that Doctor needs to log in with a fingerprint. She also explains that the Reunion Movement are terrorists formed by people infected with the Oripathy disease.
What she doesn't tell him is that he needs to scan his face or his ID to be able to access it.
Doctor is they, them. They're non-binary.
Sorry. Yes.
It's not your fault. It's not actually stated.
I was good about saying they before, but yeah.
No, it was a good joke. I'm just informing you, because we're nice people on this podcast.
No, no, we're woke. There's a difference.
Doberman thinks that Reunion is attacking now because a catastrophe is on the way. Reunion forces start coming down the road, so the group escapes out through the rear exit. I haven't said the group's name yet, Rhode Island. No, not Rhode A Island near Greece from the last episode.
I was wondering about that, because in Japanese dub, the pronunciation is Rhodes, I think. And I was curious if it's supposed to refer to Rhode Island or the Greek thing.
Well, the spelling on the side of the airship helicopter thing was with an E, so it's definitely Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Amir spots civilians running back the way they just came from, but is stopped from helping them. Doctor takes this opportunity to log in to the PRTS and takes command. While Amir is giving a rousing speech, the civilians are captured. But in short order, Rhode Island saves them. The mother, however, notices some marks on Amir's hand, calling her infected. There's a time skip, and Amir explains that they're infected like the Reunion Movement with Oripathy. It causes the body to crystallize and then spread infectious dust when it shatters. There is no cure, but Doctor was working on one before they lost their memories.
I'm sorry, didn't Amir say that it's not infectious to the touch? Did I misunderstand that?
She said that it can't be passed on by an infected person touching another person, but once the body shatters, that dust infects people.
Oh, thank you. I misunderstood that. Sorry.
With the catastrophe only 3 hours away, they move on while the credits roll. Episode 2 starts with a news broadcast saying how the riots are being quelled. We cut to the riots out of control and get the titles. We come back to...
There is no war in Basingse. Sorry, it made me think of that. They're like, no, we got this. There's no riots. We're okay. And then it's just immediately fire. I was like, oh yeah, there's no war in Basingse.
We come back to the Rhode Island crew walking through a park, still trying to escape the city. Doctor notices a growing fog and tells them to form up, just as the PRTS spots an enemy drone. The drone attacks them, and they split up. While Doberman is distracting Amir, Doctor is kidnapped. The kidnapper, Crown Slayer, tries to get information from the amnesiac Doctor, but is interrupted by a member of the Hitler Youth. He's wearing a red and black armband and shorts. He's a Hitler Youth.
Oh no, our laughing was consent. Mutual understanding.
Hitler Youth.
This interruption ends with Crown Slayer and her forces retreating into the fog, and said fog lifting. With Rhode Island reunited, Mephisto introduces himself. Rhode Island attempts to leave quietly, but they find the exit blocked by Reunion forces. Mephisto offers to let them go if they let him have Doctor. But Amaya immediately denies the request, so Mephisto tells its people to attack. Rhode Island manages to run, kinda, and holds on until backup arrives, led by Neil. Not sure I use her name again. After wiping the floor with the generic troops, she's attacked by a sniper called Faust. The attack fails, and Rhode Island manages to escape the park. Mephisto needs to leave, but sends Faust after them with some troops. Meanwhile, Rhode Island has taken refuge in a back alley clinic which was used by those suffering from aureopathy. Amaya was injured, but while she is treated, we get an explanation of magic in this world. A mineral named Originium lets those with natural abilities to use arts. However, the mineral causes aureopathy. They leave the clinic to wait in a square to meet up with another team. And they're almost roasted by a magical flame which knocks everyone down. And as the enemy advances, we get the credits. The third episode opens with Amaya holding back flames with her own arts. Everyone else stares at her instead of escaping the fire which they literally just saw destroy buildings. She tells them to run and they refuse, and suddenly the fire stops and we get the titles. The action starts right up again with attacking Tallulah, the fire arts user, but she easily fends them off. Rhode Island plans its escape, but the catastrophe begins. And by catastrophe, they mean it's raining meteors. Amaya protects them from the initial wave, so they break for it. Well, some of them do. Most of them are either injured or remain behind to fend off Tallulah. Later, the catastrophe has passed, while the remains of Rhode Island have found a hiding place. Unfortunately, they are easily found by W. That's her name.
She tells them to call her that. It's like big ego much.
Yeah, I know, right? Jesus. God forbid that she calls herself L.
And walks barefoot and sits in a chair by squatting in it.
No, not that L. Come on, Yeah, I didn't realize what I was saying at first.
I thought it was intentional.
Maybe they're related.
W, despite wanting to take Doctor, leaves without a fuss. And we don't know why.
Hi, I'm W. Call me W. Remember, I am W. Bye.
I'm going to take your doctor. I'm going to take your doctor. Anyway, bye. It's like that whole I'm not touching you people. It's just, she's just threatening them with it.
Elsewhere, Ace has managed to stay alive despite the entire square and surrounding area being reduced to rubble while facing Tallulah and Mephisto. He managed to save one other person, though lost his arm in the process.
Don't worry, he has another one.
At the extraction point, Rhode Island are picked up by helicopter and head back to base. Doctor sees some rock clusters, and Doberman explains that it's Originium. That's what the catastrophes are, Originium falling to the ground. Okay, she then goes on to explain that's what some catastrophes are, others are, it's just a wall of fire that then leaves Originium behind. I didn't want to type any more detail than what I did. I shouldn't have said anything. To prevent cities from being destroyed, they're built on top of movement devices, allowing them to simply relocate when a catastrophe is predicted. Doctor questions why the city they just left wasn't moved, and Doberman agrees that's a good question.
End of conversation. Yeah, we're all wondering that, Doctor. I thought you were smart.
The helicopter lands at Rhode Island's landship, and they disembark to find that Doctor has fallen asleep. Doctor wakes in a reception room later, as their room is still being prepared. The PRTS directs them to Amaya while explaining all of the facilities aboard the landship. Doctor says that they will help Amaya as much as they can, and she tells them that they have a mission in 3 days' time and to rest. We cut immediately to the briefing room, where Doberman explains the next mission, and the episode ends. So, was this a good adaptation?
Yes.
Okay, it's a prologue to the game, so it doesn't really adapt any of the story in that game. But the PRTS and the screens in the briefing room, they definitely resemble the game's UI. And, like, that first fight to save the mother and child took the form of battles in the game, in a way.
And there's a smartphone, right?
And they have to download a 4 GB update. Oh, wait, no, they didn't.
They have to pay to unlock new troops, probably. I actually don't know how the gacha works or whatever.
I wondered if the shape of the Rhode Island ground ship thing was purposely like a rectangle so that it fits in the screen. I mean, this would be a cool idea, I think.
Well, I will point out that that your character in Arknights Enfield wakes up with amnesia, and the person who's been leading in your stead is clearly in love with you. So, like, they've copied the anime for the new game.
Is Enfield like a different story then, or
it takes place on a different, well, on a moon but different planet? So. Yeah. Yeah, quite different story, but like still the same world because there's the same species and Originium, and I didn't see anything about Oripathy, so maybe it gets cured in the game or the anime.
I mean, I'd expect Doctor to do something related to doctoring.
If not, we spent a lot of time saving them.
And wasted a lot of troops. Is this a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
This is a Yata for me. I think this is probably one of the animes I've most liked watching. The animations are beautiful. The characters are really fun, and it has a very big weight to it also. It just feels like... I would have just assumed this was an anime first and then a game, and I think it's just a good show for an adaptation like this.
And goes?
Yeah, I really liked it too, and it's nice to watch an anime where there's instant stakes and they don't just spend time introducing you to things, but there's instantly, you instantly worry about your characters and think about what their goal is. And they also don't overload you with number of characters, just introduce them gradually. So you can keep track of who is who.
When I was preparing for the podcast, I checked on AnyList, and they have a list of all the characters along with their voice actors, and there are so many characters in this anime. I'm glad that they're not all in the first three episodes.
Mm.
But for me, it was a Nani. It's really slow moving for an action anime, and it's really dour. Everything's just feels negative, and I was hoping for more hope.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I liked, but I totally get where you're coming from, because it's just, I think that setting of everything's just hopeless, it's not very well replicated or done anywhere else, and I'm a sucker for anything post-apocalyptic, which, sure, this isn't quite post-apolyptic, but let's be real, right? So...
It's during the apocalypse.
It's apocalyptic, just dot. So I like that, but I totally see where you're coming from. And I think, you know, it's a 10-episode limited series. If it went on for longer, I just don't think it would be something bearable for anyone. We did watch a third of the anime, really.
I think there's, like, enough hope. Like, it's kind of... I often think that I don't like media that's too representative of the real world, because in real world we have issues that are depressing, but here it's kind of commenting on those issues, but there's still hope and we're still working towards a better future.
Yeah, I can see it. It's like, it's different from the hopeless, bleak reality that we have in some cases where it feels like we're always losing battles. Whereas here, I think it's because, you know, the whole narrative is always the good guy wins. You know, sure, a lot of people died protecting Doctor, but Doctor's alive and fine. And it would be a completely different story if Doctor just went kaput. So I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, real world, I can't say it. It's like, just when are they gonna launch the nukes? But we're here is like there, we can still do stuff, and it's somewhat clear what we can do to make it better.
Well, this is an 8-episode series, and then Arknights Perish in Frost, another 8-episode series, came out in 2023, followed by Arknights Rise from Ember in 2025.
Oh, my bad. I thought I'd seen 10 episodes.
Rise from Ember is 10 episodes. Sorry.
Oh, I probably saw the wrong one, like an idiot.
Perhaps. And it seems it has fewer characters. Oh, no, no, my mistake. I just hadn't clicked through. So it's an A-list score of 70%. Do we agree with that?
I think that's criminally low. Like, again, I get your complaints for it, but there's like the feeling, the quality. I doing this podcast with Gore so long has really made me pay attention to the quality of the character designs, the animations, which is something I'm really thankful about, right? Because it's given me a new perspective on how I view anime as a whole. And just the high quality of what we were watching and the beautiful visuals. I love it. And it's really good. I would have probably gone 8.5 to account for, you know, it's bleak. It can feel hopeless. It's too stressful. But otherwise, it feels really solid and well-built. And I'm a big fan for that. Of that, not for that, sorry.
Yeah, looking at it, trying to be objective, I score it a bit higher. Like, there doesn't seem to be any big issues with it. I think it's, actually speaking of doing it for a while, I feel like when it comes to anime critics, anime is still niche enough so that we have a lot, probably have a lot of snobs that are like, oh, this isn't good. I don't know what I'm doing.
That's how snobs speak, is it?
I thought it was a perfect representation of the snobs.
There was only 3 frames of animation in this part. I don't know what they would complain about, but from reviews that I read, a lot of it seems like that. It starts out like, even if the reviews aren't terrible, a lot of them start out negatively, like really critical, instead of just trying to ease you into it and then say what they liked or what they disliked. Just negative right away, and then maybe it ramps up to some things being good, or maybe it's all negative and the score is still the score is still not very low. It's like 7. Oh, it all sucked. 7 out of 10. so right, yeah, well, I feel like it the score would be a little higher.
Okay, all fair. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Sora Dewa, game on.